Hello, everybody, and welcome to TYHA podcast dedicated to youth issues on TRS Radio. My name is Anglo, and with me I have Nike.
Hello.
So we're just going to do a quick little 20-minute section before we go on to the main show, which is, me, Nike, Moisha, and Dark Enlightenment. So hope you guys are excited for that. I actually don't come in until a little bit later. But, hey, but we got to do some things that we forgot to do last episode that I think are very important. So I guess before we do that, I just want to ask you how you are today, Nike.
I'm doing quite well. How are you?
I'm doing good. My allergies are getting a little out of hand. I feel like nature is attacking me. But I want to say something. I want to say thank you to one of our first donators in a while. I know for a long time we stopped putting our Bitcoin address in the info. I just kind of got lazy and I don't know. But I put it back in, and I assume this is from Gorgeous George. He gave us a significant amount of Bitcoin, and it's really, we are really happy, and we thank you for that. It's a lot of money.
Yes, and thank you very much, sir.
Yeah, it means a lot to us. We could, I'm not quite sure what we're going to do with it yet, but it will go to this podcast. I thank you. Seriously. And if you guys want to send some donations, there will be a Bitcoin address now on all of our episodes. I'm going to try. Because you just get in the habit of forgetting, and then once you get in that habit, you're kind of stupid.
You real palikari, my man.
Yeah. I'm like the least shuckle grabbing so-called Anglo out there. You know that I'm not pure Anglo when I forget to put in the Bitcoin address. Because that's like the first thing they do is like, oh yeah, this is why I'm creating this podcast. It's so I can get Bitcoins. That's the only reason.
Never the reason.
Yeah, never the reason with this guy. But I want to read some of your comments because last episode we had a decent amount. We're obviously not going to read all of them. But I just wanted to, recognize our audience. We didn't really get to do that last episode recording.
Good guest on with us.
Yeah, and actually, it's funny enough, Moisha was manning the recording. So that's like the first time in this whole podcast where I wasn't controlling the audio, and it just felt like I was cucked on a deep level. I don't know. Because I've never been in that position.
You couldn't handle a relinquishment of your power?
Yeah, I guess I'm...
white male fragility?
Yeah, exactly. And it just felt weird, because I wasn't there in the intro. We created a separate intro, afterwards.
I'm sure some super gay postmodernist would be like, this is like a form of cuckoldry because you don't get to record and control the audio, but you still have to edit it.
Yeah, yeah, it's
like a cuckold has to raise the child that he didn't create.
Yeah, no, seriously. Well, I had to edit a lot because you guys started recording, or I guess Moisha started recording mid-conversation about, energy, and it was very autistic. And
it's experimental. It's in media res.
Yeah, so I kind of edited that part out. I just edited most of it out. I don't think there's any reference to it. It was, 10 minutes of just, you kind of understand slightly what's going on, but you can't quite, you don't know completely. So, yeah, took that out. So editing is gay sometimes. But let's just go on to the comments. Some guy named Fire Sign Prime, I like the little rhyme you have in your, handle. It's too much for me to handle. I think I'm going to go on and ramble. And thank you for listening to my preamble. Anyways, yo, my guy, your download links won't work in Ghostery. First off, I don't know what Ghostery is, so whatever. It doesn't work because that seems weird. Okay.
It's a browser.
I don't know what it is, and doesn't work because no
one
uses it.
Go get Brave.
Become brave. Yeah. No, it doesn't work because it's ghostery. That's why.
Yeah, it's because it's a browser nobody's ever heard of.
Yeah, I didn't know what it was. It's like even more obscure than Opera.
Opera is decent.
Yeah, it was back in the day. I don't know how it is now, but like back in the day, it was kind of cool.
Oh, it's a browser extension. What the hell?
Oh,
so
it's
not even its own browser. Just get rid of your browser extension, man.
Yeah, disable it.
Tell you. Just get brave and save yourself the trouble.
Well, this is in reference to our guest last episode, Larry Ridgway. This guy says, great show. Ridgway's a star of the network. Boom, boom, boom. All these emojis.
Let me hear you say way-o.
And this guy says, the N-words per minute are reaching levels I never thought possible on this podcast.
It means they're doing something right.
Yeah. And that N-word is nice, because we're nice boys.
That's right.
Yeah. And this is from Gorgeous George. He said, digis shekels coming your way. Oh, coming to the young palikaria of TYH. I don't know what that means.
It's a young patriotic lad.
Huh?
That's what it means.
Oh, it says palikaria mixed bean salad recipe. That's what I thought it was when I searched it up. When I read it like a few days ago, I'm like, you're going to give us money for a bean salad. Thank you. It looks good. This palikaria.
People mean it to say like a strapping. Well, that one means strapping young lads. You know.
Oh,
like
is
patriots.
This plural or is it just for you?
It's plural.
Okay, good.
Nah, you a palikari too.
Ah, hey, I like it. I like it. I'm a mensch, right? Oh wait, no, it's the wrong language.
No, that's not what we call him.
Yeah, and he says, YW, brothers, and I think that means you're welcome, because I said thank you.
It does.
And some guy, hey, Desert Fox, he's commented before, he says, eating moussaka as I listen.
Nice.
And that sounds really good. The first time I had moussaka, I made it myself, followed a recipe online, and it was the best thing I've ever eaten in my life.
It is good.
Because the recipe called for like so many spices and herbs. I never used that many in a recipe. It had like parsley, basil. It had cloves. It had nutmeg. It had all that garlic. It had everything. It was just crazy.
And it wasn't even too spicy.
No, it was perfect. Yeah. Oh, this guy says LCD Sound System is still a good band, bitch. In reference to me, I was just smacking down LCD Sound System. I took a listen to them again recently, and they're not that bad or anything. But I saw an interview of the singer once, and I just didn't like him. He just seemed like a annoying person. But the music's okay. But this is not 2009 in Williamsburg, so LCD Sound System is irrelevant.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ben Matlock talks about Asians, because I guess he mentioned Asians in the last podcast. And he says, Larry, you hear from Asians in America. It's just the tiger moms and Sarah Jeong, not the males. But the Asian bitches get uppity. That seems to be the case.
That's what you get with the Yvette Falarcas out there.
Oh, yeah, she's this fiery, like, Filipino gal who's out to destroy us, like, violently, by any means necessary. That's what her organization is called. Yeah, total
faggot. I mean, they're willing to try, but it's only going to be an attempt.
Yeah. Sarah Jeong is the author of The Internet of Garbage. It must be a book full of her tweets, right?
Oh! Zing.
Yeah, you guys keep on mentioning Larry Ridgway. You guys don't give us this much love when it's just us two, you know? Just because we have this guy in doesn't mean we have to ignore us. you know, it's pure and sad. And this is this probably speaks well to you as a Greek from Rusty. You want to read that comment? Do you see what I'm talking about?
The abortion question can be easily solved. You're allowed to do infanticide, but you have to do it Spartan style. It has to be within 3 days of the birth, and you have to chuck the baby off a cliff.
Then after you're done, you have sex with your best friend, who's a male, because they're a bunch of faggots.
Wrong.
Oh. They weren't gay?
Never the Spartans.
Oh, don't tell that to Jack Donovan.
Whoops. Surprise, surprise, it was during degenerate and decadent ages where the softer civilization of the Athenians.
I thought this is how Sparta was.
Practicing pederasty.
So you had the kind of aristocratic warrior homosexuals, and then you had the straight helots who are just retards, you know, and they're just used to be slaves.
Who told you that?
Jack Donovan, probably. It's something I'm thinking he believes. I don't know. It's like weird.
Like literally all the Spartans homosexual and all the helots straight.
Yeah.
this is not correct. Both classes were straight.
Yeah. No, but don't do infanticide.
Yeah, no. How about just don't have a retard baby?
Yeah, just... I don't know how you can control that, but don't have a retard baby.
Maybe just pray to God not to give you a retard baby.
Yeah.
You won't get one.
And 1589, he's another guy who's commented a lot. He says, as a skateboarder and hookups art fan since the 1990s, I autistically have to mention that the deck quality is super low grade. The decks are flimsy and have no pop, total garbage. Well, the purpose is just to get your thing hard.
It's tension.
So the deck is soft, hard. But your dick is hard, you know.
Yeah. Decks are flimsy and have no pop. Can't say the same if you change one vowel there.
And then Anglo, supposedly it's actually Nikkei signed on to our account. He says, hey, share your board. And he shared a picture of his board, and this is funny. So there is this board from World Industries. And if you guys don't know anything about skateboarding, you guys probably know this, but even if you don't know about skateboarding, you probably know this, but skateboards usually have a graphic, you know, on the bottom, and sometimes they're designed to fit a certain professional skateboarder. They'll have they'll have an artist draw something specifically for them. But there, World Industries released a design called the Napping Negro for skateboarder Javonte Turner. And it is literally just like a 1920s cartoon of a pickaninny, you know, dreaming about fried chicken. And he's sleeping in like a watermelon.
Like a sack of cotton.
Yeah, and like a
watermelon patch.
Yeah, a watermelon patch. And that's funny. And Javonte, I mean, I guess you could tell by the name, but yeah, he was an African man. African American. They just literally made him...
The artist is Asian.
Really?
Yes.
Mark McKee? That's a very weird Asian name I've ever heard one.
It's a Marin County NoCal name.
Okay, he's he's from Marin County. She's probably like Hoppa or something. I don't know.
Oh yeah, with a name like that, I mean, my first guess wasn't Asian, but then you see the guy, and then it's like, ah, he's a Hoppa.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Shit. Well, he's got the pickaninny on his homepage.
just straight up on my homepage. I got a picture of a pickaninny.
Yeah, he's got like a rendition of The Last Supper where he's got Jesus, you know, in the center, like with his pimp juice cup and blunt.
Oh, wow, cool.
Directly to the right of him, there's the pickaninny munching on watermelon and got a basket of fried chicken in front of him.
Well, and, there's...
got Buddha and Satan there, too.
Seems gay.
Yeah, and he's degenerate shit, but I wouldn't like that skateboard deck that
yeah.
he pasted. Good That's, shit.
Yeah. So, can you read this for me? It's from Chud1488. It's very Aussie, and I don't want to read such filth.
Just realize you can't read out every fucking comment on here. Sick as. 19-year-old Aussie. Apprenticing dead set cunts. 80k if you've ever seen this shit going on with the chinks. But it makes me fucking blood boil, cunt. I'm gonna post a link here, IDK, if it'll work, but it'll make good content. Basically, teachers taking money from Chinese to indoctrinate Aussie kids with CCP propaganda. You'll hear from me again, cunts. Fuck off, we're full. Ned Kelly hated chinks.
Well, thank you, mate. So apparently he links a video which I didn't watch.
Taxpayers are funding teachers to promote China.
It's so, a Facebook link, bro. Why are you linking to Facebook?
It's singing the Chinese national anthem.
Oh, whoa. So it's a bunch of Australian kids. A lot of them are Chinese. But a lot of them are white, too. Holding up the Chinese flag and singing the Chinese national anthem. March on, march on. March on. Yeah, this is crazy.
Chinese government's Hanban Institute. But 7 News can reveal...
It's a part of, like, an institute from the Chinese government. So, yeah. So, are you watching the video?
Yeah, I already saw it when it, you know, the comment came through, but... The, I mean, what else would you expect to happen? You've got a...
Not this, mate!
A colonizing country sending its excess population to the West.
Reminds me of, like, an Australian named Colin.
And they're bringing their nationalist... program with them, so it's no surprise, and it's what any healthy culture would do.
Hey, we wouldn't have this problem if we weren't sick already,
right?
We gotta be strong, cultural vitalism, whatever. So this one is in praise of us, finally. Madness Incarnate says, man, I'm glad I'm shilling for TRS. Found some awesome shows. This one being one of the highlights. YouTube just isn't enough with all the concessions people have to make to actually stay on here. Folks like Collett and Dick, good old Richard, would probably be a lot more enjoyable to listen to if they were on here. Mark's definitely got some controlled extremism in there that he doesn't show on YouTube. Anyways... As always, TYH is solid AF. Looking forward to the next Love Street with Larry pumping rage, disgusting. I mean, pumping rage, disgust, and hatred in our veins. Thank you, mate. Are you going to say anything to him? You're not going to say anything to our friend?
I said thanks.
Oh, okay. This is from good old Tam. Yeah, we have a lot of comments. It's because we had Larry. This won't happen again. But. First, you guys shit on early aughts skater music I listened to when I was 13. Now you shit on the 60s music too I listened to when I was 15. Mom, the younglings are bullying me again. Youngling, what are we from? Australia?
Youngling, winner of the spelling bee.
And okay, so here's the thing. Here. So Nike was signed into the account that we share.
Was I?
Yeah, and he wrote as a reply, we promise to no bully if you give us shoutouts in your People's Square Super Chats, because he does something with the Super Chats in the People's Square. And, you know, and so it says that Anglo wrote this, but it's just an account that we share. And then Tam replies, extortion, as expected of the eternal Anglo. Now, it was a Greek doing this to you. The whole time.
Bold claim.
He was just... He's lying to you guys. He's more deceptive than me. That says a lot about the Greek race.
Look, it says a lot about you not replying to our commenters and just ignoring them all the time.
But I need to feel like I'm special. Because you guys are nothing compared to me. I make a podcast on the internet.
A very epic and based... I'm looking more through this guy's decks that he's made for Javante.
Uh-huh.
And he's made this Black Panthers one, which has like three ski masked panthers holding a noose, and above them like are the dangling bodies, and one of the bodies has a sign that says cracker, the other one says chink. One says faggot, and the other one says kike.
Oh, wow. There's another one with, like, him hiding in a tree from a lynching.
Yep.
He's like, hey, old master, please don't lynch me.
Got a lot of jigaboo skate decks here. This is great.
I mean, it was probably meant to have a social message.
I'm sure, but the social message is funny.
But it's like a white kid in the 90s buying this just bought it because, look, there's a black cartoon character on it, and it's like a pickaninny. This is funny AF.
Are you denying the humor?
I think it's funny.
I do, too.
No, but, like, they, you know, this is still, even though it's funny, it's supposed to, like, probably say something about racism.
Sure, but the message kind of falls flat in 2019.
Yeah.
It does not hold up. This, I think these were, if I saw the date right, like made in the 90s or something. I don't know.
Well, they released a sticker for World Industries because that's the brand that Javante Turner was on. And it's a picture of like a cartoon Negro with like big lips and black skin. And it says, Javante Turner, World Industries. No, World Industries. You know, instead of World Industries.
Yeah.
They really just... Oh.
It's good art, man. I mean...
Look at this.
It's cartoony, but it... Like, it's got some authenticity to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, this one's funny.
It doesn't feel contrived.
There's one where it's just... it's a yellow deck, and it has a Chiquita sticker, like a banana. And that's it. So it's like, it's from him. It's a Javante Turner board. It's just like a banana. So, that's funny shit.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's stuff you don't really see anywhere else. There's like a certain aesthetic inspiration that comes with the, I guess the medium of skateboard decks.
Or at least back in the day, because I know skating is a little more commercial now, perhaps.
Sure you never get good shit like this anymore.
But one that was good from back in the day, I forgot which brand it was from. I forgot who the skater was, but it was a graphic of a picture of Michael Jackson with E.T. And it said, Alien and Predator. And that's all it was. I don't think it said Versus. I just think it said Alien and Predator.
See, man, that's unique. You can't. It's got a.
Oh no, it was Alien versus
authenticity, man. I promise you.
It was.
I'm not even like a big skater guy. I just appreciate the art deck. I mean, this guy is a. He's got this one board here for Randy Cloven. It's a battle flag with this Jamaican dude in the grays smoking a blunt. Says Rasta Rebel.
That's funny. So actually, it does say Alien versus Predator, and Tyler the Creator, I think, used to wear this shirt. But that's not how I knew it. I knew it from before then. Yeah, I think it was an Eric Costin board, because it has Eric. There's another edition where it's Eric versus Alien versus Predator. Yeah, that's pretty funny. Yeah, I don't know if they have any good ones anymore. We could look at, what's that website? I don't know if people still use it. It's called CCS. Skate. Let's see what boards they have now. Skate. God, I don't want to email sign up. Dex only. Okay, let's look. Yeah, these look kind of gay. I don't know. Nothing really pops out to me. Yeah, I don't want to search through all these. I think some of them are okay, actually. But, yeah, I do miss... you know, skateboarding was more... low-key back in the day. It was more DIY. Mm-hmm. And so you could tell this was just like a guy drawing this crap in his room or something.
Yeah, man. I mean, free from the wokeness influences from social media.
Yeah.
I mean, there is one thing that it, you know, at least in this sense here, you can't really have this anymore because of the sort of channels of communication that exist now. I mean, you can't get away with it if you're this Hoppa artist.
Yeah. They'd be like, why are you doing this?
Commissions you for this. You're going to get pressured into not. And like, are you, even if you have like everybody represented in the Panther hanging deck, they're going to be like, oh my God, you said kike and faggot.
Yeah.
And chink. You can't do that. That's so mean. It's so racist. Even if you have one for Cracker. It's a luxury that can't exist anymore in 2019.
Hey, the luxury I have is I could go on Amazon and get anything I want in 2 days.
Yeah, you can get a dildo in any color with no shipping.
And any type of girth and any type of creature, not just human. It could be a dragon.
Whatever you want.
Could be a dog or a horse. You could get that. And we don't live in a good society because of that. I mean, yeah, dildos are bad, but just the fact that you could get a monster dildo or a dragon dildo, it's like, that's a million times worse. It's like, now we're going into interspecies type territory. Okay. We are doomed. Yeah. Well, is there anything else you wanted to say before we transition to our other part?
Nope.
Any other comments we missed? No. This guy's kind of agreeing. Some guy said we were correct about 60s music. Is there anything else you want to say?
Enjoy the show.
Yeah, enjoy the show. Why?
Germany calling. Germany calling. Germany calling. We now proceed to part two of the radio show.
You know, Nikkei was like, you're an old guy who knows lots of stuff. You know, come talk to us.
I said old. I said older. All right.
Older. Well, wow, fine. That must be really I'm old. And I got to say, I've only listened to, you know, maybe half a dozen episodes of TYH, to be honest, man.
That
because
is more than most. I will take that.
Because it's not really my wheelhouse. I'm an old guy with kids and stuff.
Well, that's what we need you here, so you can pass on the wisdom, man.
Okay. Well, I'll do my best to do that. You know, advice to young people is that don't live the way that you're told to, because it's suicidal and insane. You know, as a podcaster, I'm kind of grateful for the whole like spending 90 minutes a day in the car kind of thing, because that's how podcasts became a thing. There's like two alternatives, right? There's a
NPR, there's Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah,
Rush exactly. Limbaugh. And so in Rush is like, you know, the real problem in this country is the Democrats. You know, they're really outrageous this time, folks. It's a, and then, you know, ruffle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hello, welcome to Soporific Radio 92.3, your local public radio station. And I'm here to tell you that that all reified liberal narratives are correct, and neoliberal globalism isn't actually a cancer upon the earth, but rather the one true correct way to live. And so, you know, those are the two alternatives, and podcasts became a thing because some smart dude was like, I hate this shit, gotta get out of here. And so he's like, podcasts, but really, when you think about it, living, you know, 90 miles away from work, that's insane.
Yeah, that's kind of what did it, like having an actual commute where you can listen to that.
Well,
I don't know how people
manage that. I mean, I've been the odd bird out, but
I only have to drive like 20 minutes to get.
Well, even 20 minutes is a long time. Yes. So you know, like Nikki, you're Greek, right? In the traditional, like if you go to Greece, all right, and if you're in Thessalonica, okay,
yeah, beautiful.
And if you're in, if you're in Thessalonica, normal Thessalonians will live two blocks from, or three blocks or four blocks from their office or above it. Right. Yeah. Like if they'll do their grocery shopping, on their way home from work every day, they'll walk, you know, a block and a half to the subway station, ride 2 miles, 3 miles, you know, 4 miles maybe, or hit, I don't know what Thessalonica's, public transit situation is, but like they'll ride public transit, you know, a couple miles, go to their office, come home, they'll get up, you know, they'll exit their public transit, walk the two blocks to their house, and on the way home, they'll stop and get, you know, bread and cheese and stuff. Yeah. And yeah, the person who owns the store that they're buying their bread and their cheese and their stuff, you know, the butcher, he lives above the shop.
Right. Yeah.
So everything that they do, their entire lives are contained within, you know, Thessalonica.
I've spoken about this before in specific, you know, one of the things that I think is also very important, like actually like critically important there, is just the sort of the geospatial relevance of, you know, small places of worship you can just walk in and out of on your daily routes. You can stop into a chapel in Greece, and, you know, I've done this while I was there, and just pray for a few minutes, and, you know, it'll likely be empty, or maybe like one other person's there, but you go in, you light your candili, and then you walk out, you know, when you're done praying. That really is like a thing that we don't get here in America. Well, you don't have to commute to church.
You're describing America before World War II.
Well, not exactly, but mostly. Yeah.
You'd see the remnants of this. I mean, if you ever drive through, you know, a family from Cleveland, if you ever drive through the not too pretty parts of Cleveland, you can still see the architecture that reflects the groups of people that live there. And the fact that the same sort of, I mean, you had an entire generation of people that didn't have cars because they were kind of a plaything for luxury, as well as the, you know, well, you, hell, if anyone knows that it's you, you had a rail network that worked.
Yeah, yeah. And rail is, of course, the most efficient way to move things by land. Water is much more efficient, but in terms of energy output, and of course, trucking and air freight are the worst.
Global warming actually based.
You know, let's talk about the like traditional European homeland, right? So in Greece, now, if I make any mistakes here, Nika, please correct me.
Okay.
But in Greece, all right, you'll have a village with
here's somebody
150, 200 people, maybe 30, 40 families,
mm-hmm.
right? And they'll all farm the surrounding countryside.
Sure. Or if not their own, you know, backyards.
Right. Well, right. But
what's the difference?
They'll farm the surrounding country. Yeah.
True.
And so, but they'll have a village, and they'll be relatively close together, and then they'll go out to collect, you know, olives and figs and all the other beautiful, wonderful Greek food that is available.
Mm-hmm.
And then
they fight with each other in the street, and, you know, whatever.
well, you know, I mean, what's a little knife fight between friends? Anyway, so what happens? what happens then is Greece, all right, and because of the topography of Greece and the constrained nature of things, mm-hmm. right, all the mountains, you know, certain things are, you know, maybe the shepherds will go up in the hills and then the agriculture will happen in the flatland. And then those towns will be kind of, there'll be a small kind of chain of villages around a mill town. And then, you know, all the grain will go to, or used to go to, a mill town. And that mill town
or a port, if it's
right. Just or some place to process the agricultural town, product. Right. Yeah. And then that market town might feed the city, right? So there'll be, you know, maybe 50, 100 miles away, there'll be some place that feeds Athens, Thessalonica, that is this small little village of 250, 300 people. And that's the way really humans were built to live, is in these smaller communities or these mill towns or these cities where you're walking, and those cities aren't composed of like a faceless mat, mm-hmm. right?
I think you have a neighborhood. To live in Walmart areas, and, like the pre-planned Whole Food areas.
And
those are what
and Spectre, who is this that just showed up?
This is the Anglo that from the Young White podcast.
The Anglo in the room.
Oh, good Lord. Almost as bad as having Moisha in the room. anyway, welcome, Engel. It's good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you as well.
So what happens then is you know, in this theoretical village around Thessalonica, right? It feeds Thessalonica. The farmers that live in this village get paid. Their children would maybe perhaps like pursue higher education in the mill town, or the basic education in the mill town or whatever. And then they'll go to university in Thessalonica. They'll be from a place. And then they'll go into Thessalonica and there'll be a neighborhood where people from their village live in town.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And in that neighborhood, you know, there'll be a bistro or something where the person who runs the bistro lives above the shop.
Yeah, there are places like that. I've been to some.
Yeah, that's right. It does kind of, you know, ghettoize is not the right word, but you'd have little subdivisions based upon the locality. I've seen this in other countries as well.
Right, and so this pattern, this basic pattern of not drastically separating all of your life, right? Your religious life, your commercial life, your whatever you do for a living, whatever you do for sustenance and food, where you sleep, radically separating all those things is insane. And we only do it in like the United States, Canada, and Australia. So, you know, in New Zealand, post World War II, and it worked when gas was cheap and then it stopped working when oil became expensive in the 70s. But it, you know, I mean, these shootings are terrible. We've created a class of alienated people that don't have any religion. They have no interaction with other people all day long. They go
home and they hide themselves.
My religion is Funko Pops.
Instead of having icons in your wall, you fill your shelves with Funko Pop.
Exactly. And so
either or haram.
Yeah. Exactly. Well.
Hey. Well, doesn't the Bible speak about idolatry?
Shut up, iconoclast.
Yeah, we're two savage Protestants. Go ahead.
Okay, well, High Church gang says you're wrong. So
yeah, I'll have my icons and he'll have his statues, and we will fight in another 300 year war.
I've got a statue of the Holy Family sitting right here. Anyway, what has happened, right, is we radically separated all these things. It made us poor. So like one of the reasons Spain is one of the poorest countries in Europe is Madrid. But here's a spatial reason why mm-hmm. why Spain is poor. And that is that all the major cities of Spain, when it was Aragon and Castile, were on ports and on major rivers. And they were like, okay, well, we'll just build a new city as the capital. Yeah, and
a place that just smells bad and is pretty high up. And that was about it.
Right. Well, but there's no rational way to make Madrid work. And so even on good roads, oxen will eat, you know, like if you... They'll eat everything that they can haul after like 5 days or 6 days. I can't remember what. So, you know, you were 4 days from any cheap transport point. And so all you had left was like this, you know, one bushel of wheat type of deal. And so Spain poured the entirety of their wealth from the New World into building this beautiful city, Madrid, in this place that made when they built it, it was pretty.
Real Madrid, you know,
I don't even know if that's true. It was known again for the stench. as much as anything.
The Catalonian.
Else. Well, no, I'm speaking this as a Madrileño, but you just kind of admit that they're, yeah, there are parts of it that are very pretty, but most of that was built in sort of the image of Paris and later on.
Yeah, well, but anyway, you know, so they spend all this money in this black hole that's Madrid because the transport costs are so high. And so in the United States, what we've done is we've radically separated all of the things that you do in your life, right? Think about it, right? You get up in the morning, you go to work, you go, you know, 20 or 30 miles. You know, normal people up until like last week in terms of human history, 20 miles was a long freaking ways.
Yeah, absolutely, because you're walking
And so, you know, you're walking and then to separate, and then you go home or you go to dinner. And you drive to that, and then or go grocery shopping, and you drive to that, and you meet friends or whatever, or maybe you're a filthy GF haver, and you meet her after work, and you go, you know, Gay. Go do something with that. But
the gayest thing imaginable.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have an ironclad proof of logic that having a GF is gay, right?
Okay, yes. No. This is the most important part of the show here.
Yeah, Thomas break out Aquinas the Vivaldi. Here we go.
Deduced that a while ago.
Hold on. Okay. Well,
this is so, autism.
Anyway, so here's ironclad proof that GFs are gay. GFs touching penises is gay.
Oh, no.
Oh, what? Have you not been doing it that way?
I didn't know how that worked that way.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, it's like and then Santa isn't real. It hurts.
Anyway.
And you're touching hands that have touched penises, which is double plus gay.
Oh, no.
Shaking hands is just gay.
Yeah,
exactly.
I believe Richard Nixon called this one of the faggiest goddamn things he's ever seen.
Exactly.
I think he was talking about something more specific.
Well, he's talking about shaking hands with people coming from that.
Nixon did nothing wrong, by the way. So what we've done in the United States, we've radically separated all of these things, the way we live our lives. Yes. And that's really unhealthy in a lot of ways. The architecture is ugly and spiritually damaging. And I can spurg out and you know, just get into all this stuff as to why, you know, why long blocks and with
blank space. This podcast is a Spurg safe space.
Why that?
Okay, well, but the long and short of it is, right, like you guys are aimed at, you know, guys in their early 20s, late teens, right? That's the target audience for the show.
Yes.
If you are like 19, okay, if you're a Zoomer, understand that you know this, all right? We never really recovered from the 08 recession. Baby boomers live in a different country, right? They live in a wealthy country that's 85% white. You know, their day-to-day lives with the people that they spend time with are 85% white. You understand that, like, you're a plurality or a bare majority, depending on where you are, and, like, things are going to fall apart. You know, like, stuff just doesn't work as well as it used to, et cetera, right? Like, things really were better when you were a kid, and that it's probably not going to get better. And so you need to live radically differently if you're going to be successful in life, because the whole system is set up to extract as much resources from you as it can, because you're white and productive and a useful citizen. And there's a whole bunch of non-productive, non-useful, non-white citizens that need to be supported on your dime there.
The answer is get with the program and stop being productive.
Yeah, that's possible. But the other things that
I've been doing that for years.
Some of us, it's called
imagine my
school.
Shock. An Anglo is non-productive and parasitical.
Damn.
Anyway, no. So what you need to do as a young white listener is realize that, you know, look back in our history and recollectivize the things that used to be, when America was a poorer place, you know, Moishe can tell you, you know, one of the most expensive things we do energy wise all day is heat water for food and showers. Hot water is expensive, energy speaking, you know, in terms of energy. Okay, so laundry was an energy-intensive activity.
Well, furthermore, just simply linens or fabrics were a lot more expensive too. You'd have fewer.
Right, and so, have Sunday. You know, have your Sunday best, and maybe don't have as much clothes. And you know, like I'm not saying like, you know, take the JO pill and dress correctly. I'm not saying
it used to be something that people would have basically three suits. And they kind of rotate them. This is, you know, early 20th century hours, but the idea of having Some of these shirts and that anything with writing kind of looks awful anyway. But you know,
yeah, sure. So you know, like, but live like a poor person, as Boers always says. You know, collapse now and avoid the rush. Do things like you know, get a house and then you know, with 4 or 5 of your local guys, and split the rent. If you can work online, you know, work from your house so you're not driving everywhere.
Or live
walk
close
if
to
you can't.
Your live close to employment, if possible.
Yeah, live close to your place of employment.
If I don't
possible.
Have a 3-hour like commute, how can I listen to all these podcasts? That's the thing.
Well, you can listen to them while you're walking too.
Yeah, that's true. And so, you know, do things like maybe you know, tiny houses are just like trailers for hipsters. So
you're like, not on the van pill.
No, I'm not. But like, if you want to live in a van down by the river and you can make it work, good for you. Yeah. But you know, just understand that there's a bunch of structural stuff set up to, like, it's set up to fail, first of all. Yeah. And it's going to fail. Okay. It's mathematically impossible that our current method of doing things is going to sustain itself. Even if we lived in like a white country, as it gets more brown and more incompetent and more everything else, it's not going to get any better, as anyone who's listening to the show ought to know.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, live different, consciously live differently than your fellows. I'm not saying like, you know, go live in the woods and,
you know,
So do you endorse or do you not endorse the shed pill?
The shed pill.
What's the shed?
Oh dear.
No, it's just, you know, it's self-explanatory. Go build yourself a shack to live in.
That's this is not the shed pill that I was sold.
Oh God. No.
You know, if you want to live in a shack and you can bathe and cook reasonably, go for it. That's just, you know, a tiny house is just a shack with running water. You know, so.
Well, does this even go further back into design of, I know, for your listeners who are building their own houses, the design of houses, say, before central heating and central air conditioning?
Oh, yeah. Like the way we used to build things. I mean, look at Mediterranean houses, right? They're very thick walls either trap the heat,
insulate,
and have lots of breezeways and things like that. Look at, you know, or think the Northmen Guild on YouTube. They had this. I think it's a bunch of like Baltic dudes who do like traditional blacksmithing and stuff, I think. And they built like a house, and this house will last like 500 years with maintenance.
Wow.
Using traditional methods. You know,
pyramids too.
All
right.
When you were talking about like the boomers, I was thinking about the consumptive lifestyle that my grandparents lived. I mean, I love them, but they're boomers.
And oh yeah,
they would just buy things, new things all the time, and just replace things, and just there was nothing that stayed for a long time in their house necessarily.
No,
and there's a lot of little gadgets and like, you know, made for TV stuff, and I don't know.
Consumption without production is just, you know, parasitism on the future, which is what
might be
baby boomers,
gluttony.
Right? Baby boomers basically just, you know, I'm a millennial. You know, I'm around 40, so I'm like either the oldest millennial or the youngest X.
Yeah, I'm the oldest Zoomer.
Okay,
the oldest one. Period.
Yep. No, we've established this on a previous episode that he's the first.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
So, God, Lord, I was in high school when you guys were born. Good
friend. 95.
Yeah.
Well, not me, but anyway.
Yeah, Moishas are like a random old guy we have on sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, mentality may have been like I was born in 1910, but I mean, this.
Well, but you need to live more like a guy who was born in 1910 who had like three suits.
Oh, I've been working
on
it. I mean, I at least with the vocabulary and all that.
Where we go and bomb German people.
Oh, God.
We can leave that 1910 birth behind.
Okay. So anyway, so what happens?
It's more like a 1920 sort of thing.
Perhaps. Mm. Only 1920 kids will remember this.
Please continue. Please.
So live differently, right? Like, understand that, like, you know, you're going to need to, you know, like, this whole idea of, like, you know, speaking as a former libertarian, right? You know, this whole idea of, like, I'm going to be a free man in my own land in the middle of the wilderness. Like, no, that's not going to work. You're going to need to collectivize things. You know, if you've got a family, you're going to need to get with other families and do things like bulk purchases and things like that. And you know, there's no reason, literally no reason for anybody who's not married to not have roommates, because you need to,
you need to save apartment.
Well, that might be, you know, but like, if you're probably much better off like renting a house with like three or four bedrooms than you are in a studio, with three or four other people
to some degree.
This depends on the person too.
I mean, if you're, you know, insufferable and can't live with other people, then
I'm kind of insufferable. Why, thank and autistic.
You know, I wasn't, I've never complimented such in my life.
Well, then perhaps the life of a hermit in a monastery is for you.
Consult your local Greek. To be honest, I just want to sit there and read books all day. And
no, that's not what hermits do, bro. They do battle with demons all day. They're pretty tough life, actually.
Not when you're Protestant.
We've established
it's all
that
about
the wrong
technicalities.
All right. So anyway, you know, like. And actually, you know, one of those things about living differently, you know that the system is run by people. Oh, God.
No.
That hate you, you know, so well, live differently.
We don't hate you, guys. We just don't want you alive.
Says Moisha. Says Moisha. Yeah. Says the man named Moisha.
Right. Yeah. And so, you know, like you've got to, you know, and I can be reached places on Twitter and elsewhere. The guys can, you know, if you reach out to me on Twitter, and if you have questions about like, okay, read these books and find out more, then I'm happy to answer those questions. But you know, understand that like, there's no way that this system can keep going, and so you need to think radically different. You know,
but there's also a question is as to, you have the collapse gang as to whether collapse is going to be sudden or simply gradual and not really noticeable. And the more things go on, the more I'm kind of tending into the latter camp.
Meaning the collapse is already happening?
Well, it's already happening and things will just get progressively shittier and shittier. And that, you know, people prepare. There's no sort of, you know, repent now, the end is near moment. The people will just simply have to adapt to this because it's going to be the new normal.
And that very well may be, but if you're in a position to understand that it's happening and adapt early and adjust your expectations accordingly and change some things about your life, then you might actually, you know, prosper. Because, you know, I mean,
you guys should just live frugal like Anglos. That's all you have to do.
No, those are Dutch people.
Yeah,
I do have Dutch friends, and they are very.
What,
they know how to save money. No, a different.
Yeah,
one.
Don't ever go he out knows, with him.
Yeah, they. I know. They know how to save money. It's insane. It's like a magic. They have like a magic trick. They know what to do. You know.
It's almost right, it's like they're paying. Guided. It's almost like they're guided from by some you know, demonic energy force that precedes them from a very ancient iteration of their race in the Levant.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if they took a...
Wait, the Dutch are from the Levant?
Well, where do you think they went after they got kicked out of Spain?
Well, those are...
Spinoza spent his entire life in Amsterdam.
Yeah, but I know that the Sephardim went to
Look, Holland. Going Dutch Native means Dutch. Just converting to Judaism. Yeah. Or converting to Catholicism.
Actually, it
you
might be worse
with.
Because you, the Jews aren't quite that smug.
Oh, wow. You have a good point there.
Yeah, you shut your filthy schismatic mouth.
The Jews are far more depressive than the Dutch. They're more the Dutch are far more sanguine
and a lot funnier.
I wouldn't know about the humor. I equally Dutch. As contemptible.
I like Dutch even though they're cheap. Like my friend's dad had a good job, but he'd still go dumpster diving to like get, you know, find things.
Well, I mean, if it's like computers, I mean, there's no reason not to.
Yeah, but
I think we derailed there.
Yeah. Why? We're talking about Dutchmen. There's no derailing going on there.
True. Yeah. Well, so you know, the thing that you guys, I think, do an excellent job of is kind of, you know, you're very funny, actually, from the half dozen shows I've listened to. And you know, your perspective of like, yeah, we're doomed, but we're going to enjoy it anyway. You know, like, it's, I think something is important that for young people, and that is, you know, like realizing that just because things are going to be crappy, or just because the system is set up, doesn't mean you have to live a terrible life. Like it, I'm not going to sit here and say, like, you know, counsel everyone to, like, you know, go live in the woods, you know, like there's no hope or anything. No, I mean, things might just fall apart better, but like, and you know, oh gosh, that's so terrible that I-5 is completely, you know, this correct, you know, this collapsed wreck that no one can actually use. And oh God.
So does this mean we're going back to the pre-interstate highway system and things are actually going to be interesting again?
Maybe that very well might happen. You know, like the interstate highway system is oof. Yeah, maintenance wise, it's completely impossible to take care of, and it just won't continue as is without.
So,
you know.
So when do you see where I am, at least? You know, there's no end to subdivisions being built up, and I mean, I guess I describe it as kind of Los Angeles in 1960. Do you ever see a point when this is kind of visibly the urban development starts turning around and people actually have to face things?
Relatively soon, probably the next 5 to 10 years, because the financing model doesn't work. So let me find it in the chat here.
Reading comments. Oh, the stuff about American fast food?
No. I'm finding an article from a website I like called strongtowns.org. It explains why your city is broke. The real reason your city has no money
is the answer.
I think it's the potholes on the road.
Yes, but also other reasons. Lafayette, Louisiana has a population.
Black people been running around here.
That's also part of the problem. That's in fact the driver of the problem. And why I'm one of the few people who actually talk about this stuff. But so just as an illustration, right? The median house in Lafayette costs roughly $150,000. The family living in this house would pay about $1,500 per year in taxes to the local government, of which 10%, approximately $150, goes to the maintenance and infrastructure of the city. So most of the rest goes to, you know, schools and local government. So to maintain the roads and drainage systems that have already been built, the family in that median household would need to have their taxes increased by $3,300 per year. This assumes no new houses are built and existing roadways are not widened or substantially improved. That is at $3,300 in additional local taxes just to tread water. So like that massive shortfall of spending in local government, you know, has been covered by the feds in the states, and with, you know, matching programs and bonds and things like that. But the second, you know, we're looking at like the second life cycle of these 30 year bonds that have been issued by these cities to pay for all this stuff. And then these places are going to go broke because that, you know, without the state of Texas having money to essentially cover those costs, they're not going to be able to, you know, or I guess Lafayette, Louisiana. So, you know, the state of Louisiana doesn't have any money. So the state of Louisiana is not going to be able to pay for, you know, to bail out Lafayette so that it can afford to pave its roads or keep its roads paved. So, you know, these suburbs where people just live, right? They don't live, they don't work there, they don't eat there, they don't go to church there, they don't recreate there.
This brings me to another question. Is that there's, you know, I know from playing enough SimCity 2000 that you know, the America has a different zoning model than Europe does in the first place. And how in the hell did that idea that ever come into play? You know, the idea that you'd have to separate residential and commercial. And is there any chance of that over being overturned? Or am I just talking out of my ass?
No, you're not wrong, but that has its roots in a couple different things. Industrial Revolution, of course. Yes, actually.
I figured it out. How did you guess? However, could you have known?
Every single time.
I just want to bring back another call back. You know, the accidental discovery of the Jews behind the touchscreen. I was just
what?
I might have told this story before, but I was talking with my brother a while ago, and you know,
You're talking about on Europa Room, right?
Oh, I think did I tell it there?
Yeah, you did.
Okay, well, yeah, I'll tell it here since you know, we can anyway. get both audiences. I was just talking with my brother, and I was telling him how like I sort of lamented the fact that we didn't really get the full evolution of the flip phone and the standard cell phone before smartphones came in and just destroyed them. And I was thinking about it. I'm like, you know what? I bet Jews did this. I bet Jews gave us the touchscreen. And he's like,
wait, please explain this. What do you mean by the full evolution of the flip phone?
I feel like it's a technology that just came and went way too fast, you know?
No, I really don't understand. Where else would this be going?
We didn't get enough time to fully appreciate it. I'm just saying from a full, like, you know,
They went to the candy consumer bar type standpoint phone as well. I mean, that was that. The little Nokia,
yeah, you know?
Nokia phones survived.
We had the juke. We had the chocolate.
Yeah, the ones that you could throw against brick walls and they'd still work, kind of.
Right, right. You know, those deserved a little bit more time in the sun.
You can still get them.
Nobody wants them.
You don't have a jitterbug?
That's like obscure only.
They've been antiquated.
The jitterbug.
I love my jitterbug, all right?
just makes
phone calls.
Long story short is I look up the inventor of the touchscreen and sure enough, Jewish.
Wait a minute. Hold on a minute. A Jew invented something? That's not like compound interest?
Taken credit for it. But, you know, the first name that actually has a full readable Wikipedia
article. Is his last name
article,
Gas? Glass?
I don't think so. I would have remembered that.
Glassenstein.
Well, you know, you have like, what are those? That's a Jewish surname, or it's probably German, and I don't know. But Jews use it a lot. Glass. Yeah. What is it? Like an Ira Glass or something? Is that someone?
Is he Jewish? It does not. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, he's
people named Ira are either black or Jewish.
Well, he could be both. I mean,
he just really appreciates the Irish Republican Army.
or it's short for something. I don't know. Irene.
So there's just sure enough, as this joke I say offhandedly about who invented the touchscreen, turns out I'm right. It's Jewish. So you can really guess about anything, and it's the Jews.
Hold on,
like anything that's a mild inconvenience or like sort of disappoints you.
You mean you the Jews invented those touchscreens that like were in museums from long ago that you could barely work that were CRTs?
Yeah. I guess that's not the good touchscreen, but it touchscreen nonetheless.
Anyway, so real quick, there was a recent episode with Rich Hauck from Twitter on, I want to say Countercurrents, about the suburbs. But basically, in 1948, Shelley v. Kramer, a Supreme Court case out of St. Louis area.
Yeah, covenants ended in.
Right, yeah, well, that's indirectly responsible for the whole Ferguson mess, too. But Shelley v. Kramer in 1948, the entire legal team on the Shelley side was oh good. And Kramer was a good stout German American who loved his beer and loved the United States. Sued to prevent Negroes from moving in. Then they moved in, and the great migration of blacks up from the South to work the factories in the war, and then they stuck around, and then you weren't allowed to keep them out after 1948, and that caused a whole bunch of white flight. And then of course building suburbs was a great jobs a great spurrier to jobs and cars. And so instead, since you weren't allowed to discriminate on the basis of race, the only acceptable filter was via capitalism and price. And so they just priced out people that they didn't want to live next to. But you know, things get cheaper as time goes on in industrial capitalism. So they could move out, and then you just move 5 more minutes down the highway. You move 5 minutes down the highway every decade for 7 or 8 decades, and that becomes some significant time investment. Yeah. The shopping mall was invented by a communist Jew, Victor Gruen.
Is he the guy from the Sandlot? No, that was a mini mall.
I guess you guys are probably too young for this because like you just shopped on Amazon boxers. But if you're old like me, you would like let's go to the mall, and that was like your public space. Well, it's not really a public space because it's enclosed, and you know the commons.
I got some of that. It was mostly just go to Best Buy or something.
No,
right. But
instead of
Best Buys,
and
recall that.
So, like, but like, let's, you know, Nikkei to do another Greek call out, right? The old agora, right? You can go down to, you know, the square in front of the church on market day or whatever, and you can be like, there'll be like Syriza and Golden Dawn people arguing and be like, no, the reason we're getting screwed is international capitalists. And, you know, the Golden Dawn guy, like, yes, it is, but it's also because they're Jewish. And, you know, like, you'd have an actual, like, a debate in the, there'd be a public, and you couldn't just be like, no, you need
and,
to leave.
And you can just sit down, drink, and watch it, too.
Yeah.
There's that going on.
But in an American shopping mall, like, right out in front of Best Buy, you're not going to have two dudes arguing and being like, it's the Jews. Well, like,
if they are, they're going to be black.
Yeah, well, exactly.
Yeah, no, you can't see that. And it's going to be not in front of Best Buy, but it's going to be in front of
the rim
Podunk store? Fish and Chicken.
Yeah, it's going to be in front of the public library.
But they're going to leave, right? They're going to be forced out of the public sphere.
I don't know. Like, if anyone's
or everyone else yes. will.
Right. That or everyone else will because there's two guys loudly arguing about to get a gunfight over whether
Illuminati. Nah, man, it's the Jews.
Exactly. So you've got this suburban model that was and the first suburb was of course
Levittown
outside of New York.
Yeah.
In Long Island.
Oh, in Long Island. Oh God, whatever. Close enough.
Yep. That's, I mean, really, it is. Like the suburbs are entirely
kiked.
You know, and it was a mechanism used by Jews to get white people, like to have get white people spend more and more money driving more, you know, money, time, etc., to get away from the people they imported into the cities. You know, Harlem used to be Haarlem. It was a Dutch neighborhood in, you know, what was then New Amsterdam, right? It was New Harlem, you know, and it got shortened to Harlem because English speakers, you know, just don't appreciate that double vowel.
You can blame William Penn for that, so.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but this is... the greatest tragedy of American history is the Quakers didn't get the full Albert Jansen treatment they so richly deserved.
That how would you have done that?
What? Gone on crusade and gotten rid of all the Quakers?
You would have a crusade in Pennsylvania? That's I don't see that happening. First of all, you'd have to get the Protestants to agree on something.
Well, see, this is why you need the leadership of the one true church in Rome. But
you mean the Church of Satan? All right, yeah.
Sure. This is, you know, like, and then of course there's opportunities to make money coming and going, right? You like these new houses out here that aren't really economical; they're just a consumptive good, right? So generate any money on their own.
Exactly.
But because they don't generate any revenue of their own, right? So, like, if you own a house above a store and you own the store makes you money, mm-hmm. right? And so it's a capital good to own, like, a house, own the pizza shop and the apartment above it. Because you can sell pizza and make money off the location.
Well, why couldn't you, if you own the building, why couldn't you also rent out apartments above it? I mean, this is what is done all the time in modern Europe.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's certainly true. But we did the single family thing, and that's partly a FDR jobs program, right? Like,
right.
Because you could, and, but also, because if you have a bunch of neighbors that live in apartment buildings next to you, if you're all, you know, of the same ethnicity and same rough social class, it's great, right? You have a bunch of neighbors, you're all close. Mm-hmm. But if you can't keep people out, and LaQuisha, you know, and we've Quisha and Tyrone move in next door, and you get to hear them, you know, bitch, I thought I told you done to do the dishes, and you done do the dishes, and now I got to tune you up like a 57 Chevy, and I'm going, you gonna make me, you know, like, but you know, this is what has happened in these, you know, like, in order to live near people that are tolerable, you've just like said, like,
you have we've one priced all the non-tolerable. Economic. Which is by definition time sensitive,
right? And so you've got all this consumptive good of a house, and because there's no revenue coming from the house that would underlie any kind of capital good that would allow you to pay for it, you have to get a loan. And oh God, mortgages! Who benefits from mortgages?
So
you know, I mean,
what's your way out of this aside from just like general boogaloo?
National Bolshevism?
Gang gang.
We must seize the means of production, you know, no, but the way out of this is to recognize what it is, and educate yourself on that. And then to do things that your ancestors did, have roommates, carpool,
live close.
Go to seminary.
Also very trad.
It might not be that. Oh, no, never mind.
So, you know, those sorts of things are what, you know, you need to do. And those are going to vary by person and by location. You know, depending on what you're doing, you know, if you can arrange it such that you can like not, have to commute to work and you can commute via, you know, internet, do that, you know, if you can arrange it such that, you can, you know, have a farm that, you know, that's actually a going concern, maybe do that. Who knows? Like it's going to vary depending on your personal situation and your particular skill. So.
Or you could escape and have a hyper real farm, Farmville, and become a total.
How does that help anything?
That's like a drug.
Yeah, well, I mean, Farmville.
That's it is.
Anyway.
Yeah. Farmville is fun.
Well, no, but like I think that stuff's like a problem is, what, I guess, Farmville? Hyper reality, as the postmodernists call it. I don't know if you've ever talked about that kind of stuff. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, that's like a lot of young people have escaped into video and porn and
yeah, porn is a big problem in our generation. I remember, I don't know if you've seen this, any of you guys have seen this.
Please explain more. I mean, we're going to have to hear more about this first.
No, okay.
Intentional and thorough detail.
Yes.
No, that's what I mean. I see kids like 17 years old with Pornhub t-shirts. I don't know if you guys have seen that. This is like what we live in now. This is our world. People
started bringing this up on Twitter, like 13 and 14 year olds with Dom or sub in their bio.
Yeah, no, this is real. This is what we have to live with.
Like, and the pornographication of our generation is going to be the one of the biggest, you know,
that's going to be the biggest problem.
Demographic challenges to overcome, more so than we've ever seen.
Who was behind that?
Oh, God.
That guy that ran. What was that guy? I've talked about it before. There's an interview of like one of America's.
Al Goldstein. Oh,
there we go. Yeah.
We discovered his name. Freaking, what's his name? Luke Ford was the guy who got the Al Goldstein quote. That's Luke Ford did that interview. The fucking same Luke Ford
who's been on the
one about like.
We hate Christ, so we do pornography. Because
we hate Catholicism. Yeah. We hate Christ. And we hate authoritarianism. Yeah.
Well, that's oddly non sequitur, but all right.
Well, Luke Ford, keep in mind, one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life was when Borzoi went on his stream. And I like Kevin Michael Grace, but he was like, you know, Kevin Michael Grace sadly went from being on This Hour Has 88 Minutes to being this Jew's butt goy.
Yeah, that dude used to follow me on Twitter, and then he's done this like huge 180.
Yeah, it's very sad.
Speaking of 180s, the Luke Ford 180, though, guy went from interviewing Al Goldstein and like being the guy who gives us the quotes that if red-pilled more people on the Jewish question than I think many other things.
I think this just might be your opinion, but anyway.
He's an Orthodox Jew now, and so like, but
oh, well, yeah,
he's never not been. Well, I mean, I guess he was at one point.
But one of the things you have to understand about Luke Ford is that he's an Anglo, and Luke Ford's from Australia, and he's of like Anglo Welsh extraction.
Have you ever listened to the guy talk? Of course, yeah.
Sounds a little like my family. Anyways, go ahead.
What,
Jewish? But he's literally you know, he'll tell you like he's a diagnosed psychopath.
Yes.
Oh yeah, he has histrionic personality disorder and narcissistic personality disorder.
He says these
things publicly.
Right, he's like, I'm literally a soulless psycho, therefore Judaism. And you're like, well, it makes sense.
Yeah,
well, you said can't argue with that one. I mean, yeah.
Well, yeah, we discovered on the podcast that he started off as like a porn reviewer or something. Yeah,
he's a porn blogger. He's like, he's had multiple porn blogs where
he's a porn connoisseur.
He's like the TMZ of the porn industry, and he's been like kicked out of multiple synagogues for like being the porn guy, which like you know
that's
they don't want competition.
Like, your average like I don't know suburb Jew family with their kids doesn't want porn guy hanging around, you know, even though they know their cousin is filming. But this guy is like the
he's like too out there for Jews, both ethnically and in his personality.
Well, I'm glad he's found a home.
Yeah. Well, this is most of your listeners, I'm sure, are, you know, completely aware of all these issues. And, you know, when people are like, why do you live so weird? You're like, well, this is the way the system is set up to screw us. And you know, fractional reserve banking and unfunded pensions. And
theory comes through and they're like, no, it's conspiracy theory. Well, they just shut the conversation down with that thought terminating cliche.
That might be true. But, you know, like to turn it around for just 1 second, like, you know, baby boomers will be like, you know, when I was your age, I was married with 2 kids. And like, you think I wouldn't like to be married with 2 kids at 24?
You know? 26, maybe. I don't know. 24.
But like, yeah, well, my grandparents were like 20. My grandparents, I think, had like 3 kids by the time they were like 22 or something like that. Something crazy.
Well, no, but like you lived in an economy, right? Like I have, you know, most people who are, you know, under 40 had like a mortgage worth of student loan debt. Mm-hmm. And
or several mortgages.
Yeah. You know, this sort of thing. And like, well, and you know, like they weren't exposed to the most vile sort of pornography on the face of the planet from the time they were 12 to the time they were.
Or let's go back into another issue near and dear to my heart. The women weren't totally useless at that point. Well, I guess they were, but their impulses were probably better constrained.
Right. No, the women question needs to be answered definitively. Yes, it does. Like the 19th Amendment was the thing that killed the United States.
They absolutely need to be banned. Yeah, that's the only answer.
No, like this is not ironically, you're correct. I mean, like, you know, like the 19th Amendment was the thing that killed the United States politically.
Well, I might argue the 17th didn't help either, but you know, this is almost semantics.
Right. But I would argue the 19th is ultimately more destructive. I support repealing the 17th as well. But yeah. Anyway, now this is...
As I drink wine out of my Confederate cup, right.
Nice.
But this is what needs to be understood here, right? Is like, you know, like when I tell nice girls that I know, I'm like, listen.
Nice girls?
Hear them out.
You're talking to yourself? Yeah. No, never mind.
Moisha's our interrupter guy.
No, yeah.
My wife was when we got married, didn't have a lot of partners. Let's put it that way. Mm-hmm. So when you meet a girl at church, that's actually wholesome, right? And she's like, "Well, why are you so anti-women?" And you're like, "Well, you do understand that every other girl in this church has like a body count that is higher than any other woman but a prostitute would have had prior to like 1930. This is a real issue that needs to be solved. And who was behind feminism?
Gloria Steinem
and Betty Friedan. Oh, good.
Yes.
You know, I mean, like, so who turned these girls into like complete total? Well, like, well, their lack of agency and the fact that they're basically children. But
who unleashed them? Yes.
Yeah. Who unleashed them? Are you familiar with Schopenhauer on women?
I probably should be.
No, actually, I haven't read.
Schopenhauer falls into our ugly nigga thesis.
Elaborate.
Go on.
Oh, this is something we come back to, a sort of eternal return in philosophy, that it's all these ugly niggas who be talking about atheism in any serious.
David Hume, fat nigga.
David Hume is always our number one. Like, this is the example.
He's fat in like 1700s, so he's a total asshole.
Or that means he's wealthy.
He was.
The proper response to David Hume is to punch him in the face and ask him why he hates himself.
Don't you need a shovel for that?
Or ask him why he couldn't feel it.
Exactly. Yeah.
There's no necessary connection. So.
So what about Schopenhauer? What did he have to say that we should take seriously?
This is thephilosophy.com. Schopenhauer, in his essay on women, is trying to demonstrate the inferiority of women. No lie detector.
Wow.
He's obsessed with a malignant vision of women. He denigrates the cult of beauty. He sought to reduce women to a common animal whose charm is the perfect tool of torture.
You tell me the ugly nigga.
In short, his purpose is to break the image of the second sex. However, does the end justify the means? I say yes.
So, again, my thesis is upheld. I'm not saying that women are good.
or that they have it right, but that Schopenhauer is attacking the cult of beauty is very telling.
No, so here's the quote that I think is relevant, and he's 100% right here. Women are directly adapted to act as nurses and educators of our early childhood for the simple reason that they are themselves are childish, foolish, and short-sighted. In a word, they are big children all their lives, something indeterminate between the child and the man, who is a man in the strict sense of the word. Consider how a young girl will toy day after day with a child, dance with it, and sing to it, and then consider what a man with the very best intentions in the world could do in her place.
Well, they're certainly big children now. I hope they weren't quite as big then.
Yeah, they've right. got... Well,
I've been married a long time. They're the biggest kid in the house, dude. I'm sorry.
No, well, I didn't mean just that. I didn't mean just the mentality.
No, this is right. But like, you know, realism, you know, the red pill, right? Take all your red pills. You gotta understand the way the world really works. And you were just systematically lied to by slating people for certain ends. And so, you know, re-examine within the light of what you know now about all of those things, the way you live your life, whether it's a good idea to, you know, like
get married,
spend a lot of time, you know, living far away and driving and spending a lot of money on gas and cars and things like that, or, you know, not learning how to cook and things, all kinds of things. You know, you really just need to reevaluate your life based on what you now know. And if you're a listener of this particular program, you know, these guys have been talking to you for what, 3 years now, about, yeah. you know, the way things really are. I assume you listen to the other shows in the network, and so you know what's up. So reevaluate your life in the light of that stuff. You know, avoid excessive debt. Don't get hung up with the credit cards. Avoid thoughts. You know,
yeah,
the THOTS, not the THOUTS.
Well, here's another one. Avoid excessive thoughts. In both cases, might be not bad advice. Yeah,
one will give you AIDS, and the other one gets you hit with a rock.
wait, hold on. Anyway,
the other one.
I was going to ask about the whole credit thing. You know, I've been thinking lately. I've never really needed a loan for anything other than school, and even that's been manageable. So, what is the red-pilled way to build, like, you know, valid credit?
I'm not the right person to ask that question. But I would say that in terms of building credit, like probably taking out a credit card and then paying it off every month would be your best bet. And then, but the real red pill is just to have 3 to 6 months in savings of your expenses, and that way.
So don't be a broke you know, beggar.
Yeah, well, save your money as opposed to spending it all, and you know, drive an older car and do that sort of thing, or walk to work because you know, everyone in Europe is skinny because they walk 3 miles a day everywhere. You know, it's and they don't eat crappy fast food every day.
Well, it's actually
somebody's never been kind to of England, an but anyway,
it's kind of an aside. But like, I have family, oddly enough, even though my name's Anglo, in Germany, I have some family in Germany, and there is this creeping Americanism coming in, where they are taking on a lot of our lifestyle of fast food. And my mom was actually surprised when we went there. We saw our first drive-through in Germany because they had McDonald's and stuff, but now they have like drive-throughs. It's like,
oh, that's been rare for a while.
But at least in that town where my family lives, it's like, whoa, and people are getting fatter. It's sad. I mean, it's not nowhere near our levels, but there is this taking in of soy products. I don't know.
You know, partially hydrogenated soybean oil and high fructose corn syrup make you, you know, like the ideal diet to make you fat and dumb.
So what it was exactly. referred to by another woo-woo world guide as the SAD or the Standard American Diet.
That's so funny that even the words come together as SAD. Standard American Diet. SAD.
Yeah, that's some Trump. That's tweet. Some, you know, 1990s nigga memes. Like, you know, finding some like big truth bomb in acronyms.
Yeah.
what's the Jordan?
Jordan Maxwell.
Maxwell that Mike. That Mike likes. You know.
Yes.
The current. And the currency.
That would be Robert's brother, right?
Yeah. So anyway, like, I don't know. Is there anything else you guys wanted to ask me?
No, man. You sort of just took the reins and you went off on your usual stuff, just on the basic prompting of teach us something we don't know. And I think we learned a lot.
Well, thank you.
Kind I was kind of thrown into the conversation. I'm like, you guys.
Yeah, we didn't even get a chance to really introduce the show.
No, we might want to do that at some point.
Thank you for listening. If you want to give us young lads some help, send us some Bitcoin. Our BTC address is in the description. See you next week.